204-1936. That's 832-204-1936 or online at allstatesidingandwindows.com.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
All right, guys, let me tell you about TGS Insurance. If you own your home and you're interested in saving some money, TGS, they can help you out, man. Listen up. Listen to my words. It used to take hours to get a reliable quote. Someone came along, made it take 15 minutes. TGS has built a new system that gives you a firm quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but your address. Here's how it works. You text the word money to 232323. They'll reply back. They'll ask for your address. You send them your address. And then you're going to get a firm insurance quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. And this is legit, man. I saved money. I know Lance saved money. Not everybody's going to save money. Maybe you've got a really good deal right now, but it's worth it to check out. The average customer saving $870 this year on home insurance. $870. Some people saving over $4,000. You don't want to take the chance and be that guy who could have saved $4,000. Don't do it. And guys, if let's say you just renewed with your old guys, they don't care. They'll take care of all that nonsense, all that hassle. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote. Start saving big today with TGS Insurance.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I mean, I guess if you were in the locker room and there was no AC and you're bitching 5 days later, okay. I mean, I might say, okay, get over it.
By now, you should be over it. Even if you were in there, even if you were sweating like a pig, you should be over it. You should have been over it by Tuesday.
Think about a stadium like Rice Stadium. What do you think the AC in the visitors' locker room situation is like at Rice Stadium?
I'm sure it's not good.
You know what? Do you think that it's like there's plush seats and it's like flat screen TVs and things like that? I'm guessing no.
No.
I don't know for a fact. I'm guessing the AC situation in Rice's dressing room isn't exactly ideal. I'm guessing the AC isn't pumping in at like 65. But who cares?
Exactly.
You're playing football.
Yeah. Drink some Gatorade and move on.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Quick like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed. I think you should change that to at Chocolate Braveheart, AJ.
I'll consider it.
You can also text the show. You know the number for that. You can also get us on the Twitch channel. If you're on Twitch, just find ESPN 97.5. If you're on ESPN 97.5, just find Twitch. And Aaron is efforting Brad Powers. I just looked in there, and he's got all the lights off. Does he not want to be seen on the Twitch channel?
Very odd.
Of course, he... ran off. So 409 says, you kidding, Fred? Stephen A will be their betting expert. Broke down 18 wheeler in the middle lane of the 610 chip channel. Awesome.
Oh, that makes everything
easy. Yeah. Somebody says, I've been stuck in this traffic for 2 hours now. It's the longest I've been able to listen to you guys in a while. That's the only positive to come from this. So yeah, if you guys are stuck on the Hartman Bridge right now, just relax. We got another hour. And then after that, you know what we have? Late Hits with Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock, and Abdul Foster at 7 o'clock. So there'll be plenty to listen to. And, you know, maybe one of those people will fall off. Can always happen. We're going to talk a little college football with Brad Powers. And I'll get his thought on that because, you know, I know that we're going to see a lot more of this. And to be fair, Fox Sports actually jumped in pretty early by putting RJ's show on. They got on that right away with the show that RJ and Brad and Fez do. So, you know, I think you're going to see more attempts to do it. And I think there's a lot of good people out there Stephen A., you got to bet on the Red Sox in the playoffs. Stephen A. Bettington. Why do you have your lights off out in there, man?
I accidentally hit it when I was running down around the hall to go try to connect to Brad.
Ah. I thought you just didn't want to be seen on the Twitch channel.
No, and when you turn them off, it makes you wait like 5 minutes for it to the sensor to reset because they're motion sensor.
Oh, great. Yeah, because the reality is maybe I thought you were turning into Ken Hoffman. You just didn't want to be seen on video anymore.
Trump has a, well, I don't know if it's Trump who has a plane flying. It could just be some random Trump supporter. Lamont sent us this. Socialism will kill Houston's economy. Vote Trump 2020. People are lunatics driving around airplanes with that.
I saw that thing earlier today. It's kind of like, okay. You know, this is why I don't want you guys here. No offense, Democrats. No offense, Republicans. I don't want either one of you bringing your groups here because this is what we get.
Yeah, I don't want any of you.
We get people on the bridge. We get airplanes flying over. And yeah, I don't like that. Someone with the drone needs to go to the bridge. I'm not saying hurt those people. That would be wrong. Just I wouldn't be sad if they accidentally fell. This is such a mess. Remember, we almost got one. Was it the Democratic convention we almost got? Thank Tebow that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Thank non-bad drug-using Tebow that didn't happen. So,
When you said, what's this news about Tebow? I was like, I wonder if someone's accused Tebow of rape.
Oh, that one happens?
I'd be like, no, come on.
I'm done if that ever happens.
I'm trying to give you women the benefit of the doubt, but...
Hey, can I wish a happy birthday to our boy Jerry Bow?
Happy birthday, Jerry!
He's out there battling.
And, battling.
You know, he's pretty good at those picks, too.
He is good.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, his soccer plays, and he and I were chatting a little bit about games we like this weekend. That's why I like having Brad on so much. I like, you know, that's why I like doing the show with you. And when we have RJ on, it's like if I have an opinion about something and it's reinforced by somebody I respect, I feel better about it.
And you have a lot of soccer opinions that Jerry reinforces.
No, my soccer opinions are basically play draws in the Premier League, excuse me. Especially early on, and in the World Cup. That's my soccer strategy. Okay. It served me well, but I do follow a lot of his soccer picks. And I don't follow it closely enough to be good at it, but I do have, but here we go again. Here's that damn Rams-Saints play. One more. Can we stop?
No, it's never over.
When this week is, you know what's going to happen. They're going to do it all week because the Rams and Saints are playing. And then when they meet in the playoffs, we're going to see it all over again. And just stop. I never need to see that play again. Are we good? All right, good. So we have our buddy Brad Powers. You can follow him on Twitter at BradPower7. He's the lead college football and college basketball analyst for pregame.com. And just an all-around badass. Brad, what's going on, man?
How you guys doing on this fine Thursday?
And doing sportsy, man. We're having a good time getting ready to get some gamble on this weekend. I want to ask you something a little off the beaten path before we get started here because somebody asked us about it. And ESPN is kind of moving towards a lot of gambling content on, I guess, what was ESPN News, and asked, did we think it would work? And my thought is, yeah, if they go get people like Brad Powers or Fezzik and guys like that who've done it, who also do broadcasting, it could be great. If they just go and get guys who are broadcasters who want to start suddenly talking about gambling, it could be a real mess. And you guys were kind of ahead of the curve. I mean, Fox Sports took your show first. I mean, what do you think would work for something like that TV-wise?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, I mean, I would say diamonds in the rough. And the guys that are really good at the sports betting and gambling thing usually aren't the best broadcasters because just naturally, I mean, and personally, I'm kind of like this. You're kind of isolated because you're looking at screens all day. You're studying. You're not always the most personable people, unless it's the guys from 20 years ago that used to be on the Saturday morning shows, sell your house, sell your wife, sell your kids. But we all know that is not going to make it on the ESPNs of the world. Yeah, it's tough because there just isn't a lot of guys out there right now. Now, a generation from now, there probably will be because there'll be people that'll be used to the gambling content, and I think they'll be really good. But I think a lot of these networks are going to struggle to find the right type of mix between they know their stuff when it comes to this industry, but they can also present themselves and talk clearly about it.
Yeah, and I think you're going to have to pay a premium for those guys, too, which we'll see if they're willing to make that kind of investment, you know, that because that's a big part of it, too.
Good point. Yeah.
All right, well, let's...
Hey, if you're winning, it takes care of everything. I'll tell you that.
So let's start with the games Friday night. There's actually, to me, three playable games here. I want to start with the one in town with UH and Washington State. That number's 9.5 with Washington State. I've seen enough of both of these defenses. The total was 75. I actually played at 75. Now it's down to 73.5. I think this goes over. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I think that's the most value. I'd probably lean a little Houston right now on the side, but I maybe it's square, but I'll go over. I mean, you don't have to worry about weather. It's in NRG Stadium, so you're gonna get a nice fast track there. Both defenses struggle a little bit. Both offenses. Especially Washington State was kind of a question mark, losing a guy like Gardner Minshew. But, you know, Gordon, the replacements, hit his stride already in 2 weeks. And, you know, I think a little bit misleading about Houston last week, and you guys are familiar with it, they pretty much put their offense away at halftime. I mean, they led 34-10 at halftime and really didn't do anything. I think that's creating some value here. I'm with you. I'm on the over.
Yeah, I might be the only person who actually watched that game. UH and Prairie View, and it was funny. They did whatever they wanted in the first half and then basically said, okay, we got Washington State this week. Let's just get home in one piece. So, yeah, I like the over there, too.
This North Carolina-Wake Forest game, I mean, it should be a track meet if the two teams kind of stay at the same pacing that they've done. Wake Forest may be the fastest team in the country, and North Carolina, their offense has been way better than I would have expected. I actually like what North Carolina's done. I'm not crazy about Mac Brown as an X's and O's guy, but what I've always said about Mac Brown is he puts good people around him, and I think he's put a good offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator there in Chapel Hill. I'd lean to the over, although it's maybe the juice has gone out of it now. It opened at like 62.5, 63, and it's already up to 66-ish. But I like North Carolina in this game and maybe a little North Carolina money line. What are you seeing in this matchup?
Yeah, I lean North Carolina here. I mean, the biggest concern for me, I mean, North Carolina's off not only one, but back-to-back very emotional wins, outright upsets over South Carolina, hosting Miami, Florida, last-second win a week ago, and now you're going on the road to somebody that Wake Forest is a type of program that's going to have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. They don't get the same respect that a big-time state school like North Carolina has. You're right. I've been impressed with the true freshman quarterback. I didn't think Sam Howell would be as good as he's been so far for North Carolina. I lean plus the three here, but I don't like it because I'm a little bit concerned on a short week traveling after back-to-back emotional wins. Therefore, I can't bet it. It's only a lean for me.
The other Friday game, Kansas at Boston College. I mean, I watched Kansas against – I didn't watch the whole thing. Thank the good Lord. But I watched them against Coastal Carolina. And, I mean, this is that they've got to be the worst – Power Five team. I don't know. I mean, I don't know who else is even in the discussion right now. I mean, Rutgers looks better than them for sure. It just seems like they're as bad as it gets. Boston College is a decent ACC team, but a decent ACC team at home against this Kansas team, 21 points almost seems short to me.
Yeah, let's start with the power rating. You mentioned Kansas has to be the worst Power 5 team. They are. I mean, the next closest, you're right on top of it, it's Rutgers. But Rutgers, I think on a neutral, would still be favored by 3.5, 4 points. And if you remember, I think, you know, looking back at it, I mean, you look at the two performances for Kansas. I mean, they just got done losing, and rightfully so, on their home field against Coastal Carolina. There was nothing fluky about that. Coastal Carolina was the better team. And then in the opener, I mean, Kansas had to rally late in the game. They got a late touchdown to beat Indiana State. So I think legitimately Kansas is the worst Power 5 team. Boston College isn't typically a team that I like to lay a lot of points with. But they're almost the style of play under Steve Adazio. He's their head coach. It's somewhat similar to Wisconsin. And they kind of wear down on you. And here's where I could see them getting a late cover because they're just running it right down Kansas' throat. Boston College isn't trying to run up the score, but because they wear Kansas out in the fourth quarter, maybe they get some margin finally in that one. Just a lean for me on BC.
This is a number that's kind of maybe odd to me, this Kansas State, Mississippi State, or Mississippi State total. And I get that. I think that maybe the preseason perception was that Kansas State was going to really struggle offensively. But both these teams have looked really good on offense. And a total of 52 seems strange in this matchup, given what the two teams have done to start the season. What do you think about that number?
Yeah, I like the over here, and it would be a really like best bet material on the over until I, you know, unless I get the injury confirmation when it comes to Mississippi State's quarterback, Tommy Stevens. Now, the replacement in the second half actually performed quite well, and I think both those quarterbacks are a better fit for Joe Moorhead's Mississippi State offense than what they had last year with Nick Fitzgerald. But you mentioned it, Kansas State, to me, I know that they played a couple of tomato cans in the first couple weeks, but they didn't play with that sense of a purpose the last 3-4 years under Bill Snyder. Bill Snyder, no doubt about it, one of the greatest coaching jobs in the history of college football, but the last couple of years seemed a little stale. And the reality is Kansas State's offense, for the first time in school history, is off back-to-back 500-yard performances. Yeah, I like the over here. I think that there's a misperception about Kansas State from previous years. Same thing with Mississippi State.
One game that I'm really interested in, and I'm curious what you've done with them power ranking-wise since the season started, but I liked it better when it was 12.5. It's at 14 right now, Oklahoma State at Tulsa. I really like this quarterback for Oklahoma State, and I think we kind of lost a little bit of what Mike Gundy's able to do with there, because last year didn't go very well, but mostly year in and year out, they put up points and crush people, and they certainly look like that kind of team again. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, it seems square to me, but I like Oklahoma State. I'll lay the two touchdowns on the road against Tulsa. Keep in mind, the campuses are only about an hour apart, so the Oklahoma State's going to have plenty of fans in the stands there in Tulsa. Another thing, you mentioned it. What's Oklahoma State's propensity to blow people out? Well, I can tell you this. In the three meetings against Tulsa under head coach Mike Gundy, he's not been afraid to run it up. His offenses have averaged 61 points per game against Tulsa, average cover by 20 points per game. And you mentioned the mispricing with Oklahoma State. Market looks at it. Hey, Oklahoma State lost their quarterback. They lost their running back. The reality is the replacements at quarterback and running back are better this year than what they had last year. I like Oklahoma State minus the 14.
I'm looking at this Kent State versus Auburn game, and Auburn.
Oh wow!
I'm mostly looking at the total, and I'm pretty down on the MAC in general. Like a lot of these MAC teams, the MAC is usually a pretty decent, you know, mid-major conference, and they don't look like that to me right now. But Kent State, particularly, they were atrocious in their opener offensively against Arizona State. They weren't able to put up really the kind of numbers you would expect offensively against Kennesaw. And now they go up against maybe the best defensive front in college football at Auburn. And I look at this total and I think, man, when I see that, maybe my whole handicap is how many points is Auburn going to score? Because I don't know if Kent State can score a point against Auburn. And that number at 54, it's very enticing when you think that only one team even has the ability to score points.
I lean under. I think you're on the right direction there. And also, looking at Auburn offensively, been, let's face it, a little inconsistent with the true freshman quarterback and Bo Nix. And how much are they willing
to... You mean Bo Picks?
Yeah, Bo Picks. Wow, I haven't heard that. But looking at it, I mean, Auburn's got a huge game, SEC game on deck at Texas A&M. Yep. Are they really going to want to spread their wings late in the game and really run it up against Kent State? I don't think that's the case. Certainly didn't see it last week against Tulane. Now, Tulane's much better defensively than what Kent State is. Lean under, guys.
Brad Powers is our guest. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. I kind of want to ask you another general question. How often do you look at the extra games when they're added? Because I think there's some value in some of these ridiculous long shots, like and I found a couple the last few weeks, but is that something you take a hard look at, because maybe they don't spend as much time on the line, and then you see LSU minus 51.5 and some ridiculous numbers like that?
They're worth it, you know, some spot plays. I mean, with already 48 games on the board, you don't want to spread yourself too thin. So I do some just general overview power ratings when it comes to the FCS teams. If I got a huge disparity, like I can fire right around a key number if I think it's off a point when it comes to the regular games. to me, because there's less knowns when it comes to these FCS teams. And look, how many Furman games have I watched? I'll just be honest with you. I haven't watched too many. The Citadel, I haven't watched them. So it needs to be a, you know, 4, 5, 6 point type of disparity between my power ranks for me to fire. And a lot of times I'm when it comes to betting these, it's situationally. So you're right. LSU's laying a huge number, and they're off a huge game against Texas. So I would like, I'd prefer with the dog there. Although what would concern me is LSU looks very aggressive. They were super aggressive even against Georgia Southern in the second half of that game. And with the new identity that they have throwing the football, I'm a little more hesitant. A lot of times where I find it is when these teams are kind of in a flat spot and they're playing an FCS team that runs the option, whether it be, you know, a team like the Citadel, or, you know, Furman has some option principles. Wofford, a lot of the SoCon teams run the option. So those are the teams that I'm looking to bet on more often than not.
Last year when Arizona State played Michigan State in Arizona, I think there was like 25, 26 points scored in the whole game. I mean, it was just a disastrous offensive
29,
game.
29, yep.
29. Arizona State has now lost their quarterback. They've lost their best receiver. They look even worse on offense now. And Michigan State actually looks a little better than I thought they were going to look. What do you think of the total in that game being at 42.5? And what do you think? And it's hard for me to pick the favorite and the under in this situation, but that's kind of the way it looks to me.
Yeah, because you're laying two touchdowns. I don't think there's a lot of times correlation there when you're laying the big favorite and you got a really low total. I'll have to, Steve Fezzik's usually really good at that. I'll run that by him and see if there's any correlation.
I feel like there's not correlation. I just feel like that. Like if I look at the two things separately, I mean, they both feel right, but they don't feel connected, obviously.
Fair enough. I think the better value, I'm just going to take Michigan State. I was waiting for the offense to be improved. Didn't see it against Tulsa. It was the defense that was scoring points, not the offense. But I did finally see it. And then some last week. I mean, that was the best offensive performance as far as production and points scored that Michigan State's had in 5 years last week. So if that's the offense we get, Arizona State's not going to be able to keep up. I question even Arizona State being able to score with a freshman quarterback in his first road start against that defensive line. Yeah, I like Sparty here, although the number continues to climb.
A couple of Big 12 teams, and TCU at -2 at Purdue. I haven't really gotten a good feel for either one of those teams yet. Curious where your power rankings have them. And then I want to ask you about Texas Rice, because the line is 32, the total's 56. I think Texas could put 56 up by themselves and basically do the over on their own. Curious about your thoughts on those two games.
Yeah, Purdue-TCU game's tough because the line to me right now is saying Elijah Sindelar, he's the Purdue quarterback. He's had two really good performances so far, although he was, you know, threw a bunch of picks against Nevada. The production was there, threw 500 yards last week. He's in concussion protocol. This line right now with the move of about 4 points, to me, is saying he's more doubtful than questionable. So I can't really bet Purdue off of that with them throwing out a first-time starting quarterback against a TCU team that's coming off a bye. If anything, I would lean TCU at the current number. The Texas game, I think there's more value. The only question I'd have is, man, Tom Herman, to me, sometimes gets conservative in the favorite role. I mean, if you're just blindly betting on Tom Herman in the favorite role in his entire career, it's like he's like 40% against the spread, and sometimes he puts the offense away in those types of games. We'll see. I mean, if they got their head on right and they want to atone for what happened last week, I agree with you. I mean, what's stopping Texas from naming their score here? And if that's the case, let's go ahead and go with the over.
Yeah, and Rice's quarterback is dead too, so that certainly helps there.
Yep.
We get a lot of people asking about Iowa State. Your thoughts on that one?
So I got a really good trend here. I'm going to say this trend first, but I'm going to go the opposite way. Oh. So the trend is this. Iowa's 18-0 straight up, and in those 18 games, they've only failed to cover one time, and that is a road favorite for Iowa. Road favorite role, 16-1-1 against the number last 18 times for the Hawkeyes. Makes sense. They're not a lot of high variance. When you go on the road, this is the old adage, bring your defense, your special teams, don't turn it over. Isn't that Iowa football? So to me, that makes some sense. But here's where the mispricing is. I think the market downgraded Iowa State too much for all that near upset loss against Northern Iowa in week one. Keep in mind, Iowa State's coming off a bye. Downgraded too much. Northern Iowa's a top 10 FCS team. To put that in perspective, you're just looking at a power rating nationally. They're about as good as like a North Texas or a Miami of Ohio. So it's not as bad of a performance as what it seemed there. And go back to last year when Iowa State really turned it on at the end of the year. It was with Brock Purdy, a quarterback. Well, when Iowa State only scored 3 points last year against Iowa, Brock Purdy wasn't the quarterback. You throw in College Game Day being there for the first time ever in Ames, I'm going with the underdog here outright. Give me Iowa State.
You mentioned North Texas, and I'm wondering if that team is quite the same as it's been the last few years.
Good point.
And you've got they're getting 14 points, but you're also talking about a team that's coming off a huge win with Cal. Is there anything that interests you in that game?
I mean, I wanted to be on North Texas. I wanted to play against Cal after that big outright upset against Washington last week. But the line's accounting for it. I mean, right. This is one where if it's 15, 20 years ago, because there's not a lot of, you got East Coast bias first off when it comes to Cal, and then people just aren't going to generally know what North Texas is all about. So I think 15 years ago, this line's probably 17, and I'd have a bet on North Texas. It's not. It's like 14, 13 and a half. No bet for me. I think the value, it's being priced in that this is a bad spot for Cal. And I'll say matchup-wise, North Texas wants to throw it all over the field. Well, California, believe it or not, their secondary is one of the top five secondaries in the country, and I'm not sure I want to be throwing it all over the yard against guys that can really press you when it comes to man-to-man coverage.
Cal has it figured out defensively. I think they got the right coach.
Yeah, they
got a legit defensive mind coaching that football team. And if they ever get the talent to catch up to it, I think they're going to be a problem because I was heavy. My biggest play last week was Cal over Washington, Cal plus 14. And, it was never even in doubt. The only thing that was in doubt was if the game was going to get played. one of the lines that I've been asked about the most this week probably is Temple, Maryland. And I think people have seen Maryland just running up the score on Syracuse last week.
Oh, good point.
And we haven't seen anything out of Temple. And I mean, my initial lean is to Maryland because they've got revenge. Temple beat them at Maryland last year. And really, Temple, all we've seen of them so far is Bucknell. And that doesn't really tell us anything. We've got it's almost two data points to zero data points. But what are your thoughts on that game? Why is the number still hovering around 7? Do you expect it to change by kickoff? And what side are you leaning?
Nah, I think it's going to – I mean – if it does, if it's going to move, I think it'll go up because the public's going to be high on Maryland. So if it moves at all, I don't think it will because we've seen some buyback already on Temple. Got as high as 8, and we've seen the sharps come back a little bit more of the professional money buyback on Temple here. I have upgraded Maryland more than any other team in the country, and it's by far. It's in fact, if you look at all my downgrades and upgrades, the biggest disparity I have from my preseason power rating is Maryland. I've upgraded them 8 points already, and with that being said, I can still, if you're just doing differences between my power ranks, I can only come up with a line like 4.5, 5. So I think Maryland, even though it looks cheap, to me, according to my power ranks, they look expensive. I lean Temple here.
What? How many data points? How many weeks in do you feel like okay? My power rankings are right where they need to be because obviously you're going to be changing them a lot based on what happens early in the season. But at what point do you feel comfortable? You say okay, I'm in a good spot here.
That's an excellent question. With college football, because there's only 12 data points, I don't know if you can ever feel 100% sure. But I mean, obviously, more data points when you get in November. I feel pretty confident at that point. Mid-October, you get a general feel. But the beauty of college football is a lot of times once you think you know the answers, the season's over. There's only 12 games.
And then you wind up with bowls, which are a totally different animal to handicap.
Exactly. So. Throw out the power ratings when it comes to bowl games. It's all about motivation.
All right, that's Brad Powers. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. His picks are on pregame. He is fantastic, as you can tell. Joins us every Thursday. Brad, enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll talk to you again soon, man.
Hey, really appreciate you guys having me on. Take care. Good luck this weekend.
All righty.
All right, I got to tell you about Top Brass Military and Tactical. If you are If you're active duty military, they've got all the insignia, they've got all the things you might, all the boots, all the gear, anything you might need, they've got you covered. If you're just an enthusiast, though, you can get the same stuff. How crazy is that? Police, security guards, any outdoorsmen, you want get the gear that the police, that the troops are wearing, this is the place to check it out. And I love going in the store, man. I could spend hours in this place, and they've got all the equipment: bulletproof vests, holsters, boots out the wazoo, jackets, helmets, tasers. You can get it all there at Top Brass. And listen, they've got great brands: 5.11, Under Armour, Yeti, Pelican, Condor, Gerber, all of them. They got it all there, guys. Go check them out. Two locations in the Houston area, 2500 North Freeway, and if you're down in the southwest part of town in Stafford, 11941 Southwest Freeway. Come check it out. Tell them AJ Hoffman sent you by. That's Top Brass Military and Tactical. For more info, hit up topbrassmilitary.com.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Let's keep the gambling talk going. Rafael Esparza joins us, my bookie. What's going on, Rafael?
How's it going, guys?
It's going gambling, my friend. So, game tonight, Panthers Bucks. Neither one of us have a real strong opinion on this. Do you have something for the listeners? Do you have a good opinion on this game?
I mean, pretty much all last couple of days, Carolina was -7, and the total was 50.5. Now the betting public has pretty much showed their hand already. Now Carolina is 6.5, and the total is 48. I see another low scoring game. Not as low as we saw last week with the Bears and Packers. I watched more of a Big Bang Theory than I watched that game. But I think we'll see a little bit more scoring. But I like Carolina, but I definitely like the under. I think Tampa Bay is going to have a hard time scoring points tonight.
I'm curious, do you guys get more action on a game like this on a Thursday night than you will on maybe the best game on Sunday, or because it's the only game?
Depending on the matchup. I remember a couple years ago when it was the Browns versus the Bengals on Thursday night. And there was no action. I think a baseball game had more action than that one. It depends. This one's a division rival game, so the action's coming in right now, getting a lot of good two-way action now that the line movement has gone down to 6.5.
Going to the NFL on Sunday, there's a couple of games with just really big lines that especially Patriots-Dolphins, and I think obviously everybody saw what happened with the Dolphins last week, 18.5. How often do we see that, and is the action still coming on the Patriots? How high does that number have to go?
No, it's actually come down. It was 19.5 a couple of days ago, and now it's 18.5. So the wise guys are jumping on that. I mean, you know, Tom Brady always struggles in Miami. I don't know, just because Giselle's walking around with a bathing suit pretty much the whole week long, and maybe he's distracted, but he's always struggled in Miami. The Patriots do win this game. I don't think we're going to see an upset like we saw a month ago when Verlander and the Astros lost to the Tigers 2-1, and that minus was -500. But I think the Dolphins keep it respectful. They lose by 17.
Well, we know Bob Kraft will find some action while he's down there, too. Another game that I wanted to ask about, Cowboys-Redskins. Cowboys 5.5 at Washington, coming off a really impressive performance off a poor team, against a poor team. But division game, what do you think happens there?
You underestimated that impressive. I was totally blown away on how well they looked. I mean, if they're going to continue to play like that, I feel sorry for the Redskins and Giants in that division. The Eagles might be able to keep it close on them. Last year, they beat them 31-23. Granted, that was in Dallas, but I think the Cowboys roll. I was so impressed on that offensive scheme, and that defense played really well. I think Dallas win. I would not be shocked if they win by double digits again, because I think the Redskins might be the worst team in that division.
Ravens -13 at home against a Cardinals team that figured it out late and kind of screwed me because I had the Lions. But it's an awful big number. Are people just looking at last week where they dismantled the Dolphins? And because I kind of like the Cardinals getting points here.
Yeah, because if it was right now, the Super Bowl would be Baltimore and Dallas, the way everyone's overestimating what Baltimore did. I mean, they played the Dolphins. I think Arizona, I mean, they struggled not through just the first two quarters, the first three quarters, the third quarter they even struggled. It was fourth quarter and halftime. I think the Ravens do win this one, but boy, that's a big number. I think Arizona does a backdoor cover. Would not be shocked if they win, but lose by 10.
And one more I want to ask you about the Texans, obviously hosting the Jaguars here. That's a number that was 3.5 before Nick Foles got hurt. Now it's anywhere 8.5, 9.5. What do you think happens in that one?
I think, like you said, I think that defense is going to bounce back, especially with a rookie quarterback, Minshew, that's going to be a Jacksonville quarterback. You figure, you know, Jacksonville's going to want to hand off to Fournette, and I think the Texans will be ready for that. I think Houston's defense is going to want to give one back to that offense, because I felt bad for that Houston offense. They should have won that game, but the defense blew it. I think Houston bounces back. If there's one ugly game, this could be the game. I think the Houston Texans defense shows up on Sunday.
Yeah, Romeo's got a pretty good record against rookie quarterbacks, so that one should be interesting. That's Rafael Esparza, my bookie. You can follow him on Twitter at VSI Doc Sports. Rafael, appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Take it easy. Have a great weekend, guys.
Hey, you do the same. And speaking of my bookie, you heard some of the numbers there. You heard some of the potential plays. Well, you know where to go. Mybookie.ag. They got you covered on every game. They got more prop bets than any other sports book. All those numbers you heard, Rafael sets them. You can go out there. And the best part is you win, you actually get paid. Nobody pays out faster. And I've never had any problems getting money out of there when I win. And also, the cool thing is, like, if I get home late tonight and I decide I want to jump on that game, I could still bet it after it starts. There's all kinds of in-game options. And if you sign up today, guess what they're going to do? They're going to double your first deposit. That's up to $1,000 in free money to wager with. $1,000. They'll double your first deposit. But you have to use promo code radio right now to get your exclusive double your money offer. That's mybookie.ag, promo code radio. Got a game tonight. You got all the NFL games that we just talked about with Rafael. And, of course, you heard us talking with Brad about all the college games. All of those are available on mybookie. If you want to get in on the action, this is your place to go. Play, win, get paid. Mybookie.
All right, guys, let me tell you about what's going on at Kima, the Kima Boardwalk this weekend. The Kima Craft Beer Fest, Saturday, September 14th from 2 to 5 p.m. They want you to come out. They want you to have a good time spending the day drinking a bunch of awesome craft beer. 24 breweries. They all want you to come out and drink their beer. You can't beat that. Tons of local breweries, tons of national breweries, just tons of beer. And it's all for you. You can buy advance tickets now, only $44.95 a person, $39.95 if you're a Landry Select Club member or you have a military ID. It'll be $49.95 day of. Your wristband includes beer samples, giveaways from vendors, food samples. There's going to be live music going all day. Get your tickets at KemaBeerFest.com or at the booths, the ticket booths down there at the Kema Boardwalk. You got to present a valid ID at the time of purchase, and you must be 21 years of age to attend. And then you can get the Craft Beer Hotel Package, which includes a night stay at the Boardwalk Inn and two tickets to the Craft Beer Festival if you want to go baller. KemaBeerFest.com. That's KemaBeerFest.com for details.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Get ready for a Lone Star Showdown at NRG Stadium this Saturday as the Rice Owls take on the Texas Longhorns. Presented by Smart Financial. Don't miss out on a primetime college football game between two old Southwest Conference rivals battling it out on Houston's biggest stage. Tickets are on sale now, starting at only $35. Call 713-348-OWLS or visit riceowls.com/NRG to get your tickets today. A couple things. CV on the Twitch channel says, love this Twitch thing. You guys are the best. Don't always agree, but respect your reason. Best in the business. Stay sportsy, bitches. Appreciate that. I don't want everybody to agree with us. You know, that's the thing. I love it when people disagree and have good, you know, really good counter arguments, because there's times when, you know, different perspectives are a good thing. And Randy says, out on the road, and thanks to Aaron, I watched on Twitch. You look so bored live on radio. It sounds different, almost like you're interacting with each other, not on each side of a table staring at a laptop. We are interacting with each other. It's what we do. It's just we also do it while we're looking at laptops. But, yeah, I never promised you it was going to be entertaining.
Yeah, we're not fun to watch.
No, I mean, it's there.
That's why I think the Twitch thing is really dumb. I mean, it's great. It's another way for people to get the show, but
I mean, I think if the viewership goes way up to the point where there's a whole lot of people watching it, then, yeah, we might, you know, be more animated. But it's not going to change the radio show. That's the goal, is to try to make that not suck. And All right, so you want to do a Hoffman on Hollywood?
Yeah. Let's start with, did you hear the news about Bang Bros?
I did. I just got the, somebody just tweeted at me.
Okay, yeah. They are, the Miami Heat recently announced that the American Airlines Arena will be maybe changing its name next year. And someone who's ready to submit a bid for $10 million is Bang Bros, the porn site. Which, I don't know, with free porno, I don't know how porn companies have $10 million to throw around, which is,
yeah,
it's, I mean, weird.
Should have thrown some more at Mia Khalifa, that's for sure.
If they win, they would name the arena the Bang Bros Center, a.k.a. the BBC.
Yeah.
How would you feel about that?
I'm a fan.
You're a fan of the BBC?
Uh-huh.
I figured as much.
Just like our friends across the dial were a fan of Brian Boddy Calhoun for the same reason.
Oh, yeah. Who, was that John Harris who said that?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Creighton.
That's so unfortunate.
Because he was the one talking about it. So, by the way, Creighton coming on next with Jason Braddock and Abdul Foster.
Hey, this is one of the more ironic stories I've read in a while. There's a Lord of the Rings Amazon TV series that's currently in production. And guess who wanted to weigh in on it?
Jorge R.R. Martin.
Yeah. He says that they've got some plot holes. And I don't know if they actually do have plot holes, because all that nerdy stuff, I mean, they very well could.
You've just tossed the ball right into my wheelhouse here. You know that, right?
Right.
Go ahead and tell the people what he says the plot holes were.
Well, the thing that makes me laugh is that George R.R. Martin is complaining about plot holes in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
He says, it's one of the great books of the 20th century, but that doesn't mean that I think it's perfect. I keep wanting to argue with Professor Tolkien through the years about certain aspects of it. He did what he wanted to do very brilliantly. I look at the end, and it says Aragorn is the king, and he says, and Aragorn?
Aragorn.
Yeah.
Ruled wisely and well for 100 years. It's easy to write that sentence, but I want to know what was his tax policy? What did he do when famine struck the land? And what did he do with all those orcs? A lot of orcs left over. They weren't all killed. They ran away into the mountains. Did Aragorn carry out a policy of systematic orc genocide? Did he send his knights out into the hills to kill all the orcs, even the little baby orcs? Or was there an orc rehabilitation going on, teaching them to be good citizens? Could orcs and elves intermarry? That's the kind of stuff that George R.R. Martin is worried about.
Well, didn't we see that in Bright? It was like the future where they were all...
Right. Yeah.
No, here's the nerdy part of this, because that was his reason for writing Game of Thrones, is because he thought, oh, well, just because the war's over, you know, that doesn't mean the story should be over. I think the ironic part of it is that the way his finished, it's the same way. There's still answers out there. What happened to the Dothraki? You know, what happens to Grey Worm and his guys? And we know they're going off somewhere. I mean, none of those plot lines are tied up. He doesn't answer any of those questions anymore. Let's be honest, he basically, almost all of his stuff came from Lord of the Rings, and that's why he wrote it, was to try to answer those questions, and he's mentioned this before, so it's nothing new, because I've read it before, and because I'm a nerd. But yeah, I think it's pretty ironic that he's making comments like that when his show doesn't wrap things up either. Now, maybe the books will do a better job, but if that's the case, Aragorn ruled for 100 years. Okay, so Bran the Broken, good luck.
Yeah.
Kind of left us hanging there.
I'd like to give the occasional update on Artie Lang.
It's a good one this time.
He actually looks pretty good. He, on Twitter, came out and said, great to be home, 7 months, 14 days sober, but one day at a time, lots of new stories to tell. We'll announce some new tour dates on Friday. Thanks for the support. Love you all. And he looks, I mean,
better. Still bad.
He still looks like he got hit in the face with a shovel. But he's way thinner. He looks like he's actually put some care into his appearance. I mean, over 30 years of drug abuse. And, I mean, I'm a fan, so I hope that he's he's better. But it was good to see him looking like that. But he is back and apparently, at least for now, healthy. Chris Cornell's widow blasts his ex-wife's demand for child support of her 19-year-old.
What?
Yeah. Chris Cornell's ex-wife wants child support from his estate for his 19-year-old daughter. And, of course, his widow is now saying, uh-uh. The widow of his hit out said, she accused the widow of failing to pay $5,000 a month in child support. And the lawyers are saying, that's not really the way child support works. Vicky told Daily Mail in a statement issued via her lawyers that she has paid every penny of child support and no longer owes anything. But this is still an ongoing debate, apparently. I feel like once you're dead, you should probably be able to get out of that whole child support thing.
I would agree, but all I know is it doesn't remind me of anything. All right. So was that Hoffman on Hollywood?
Yes, that is Hoffman on Hollywood.
Somebody asked, am I crazy for wanting to pick the Texans in Survivor and cross my fingers that the Ravens or Pats get upset?
I pull a curtain back a little bit. I think I'm going to pick the Texans in Survivor, although I'm almost assuredly going to be playing against them against the spread.
Fair enough.
I think the Texans win. I don't think they win by, damn sure don't think they win by double digits.
Yeah, I think that's a lot to ask. I mean,
we were going over through the break. We're going through Deshaun's three appearances against Jacksonville. None of them good.
Yeah. You can make excuses for two, but not really the third. So, all right. Well, we will see you out at the West in Beaumont tomorrow. Looking forward to
Hell
that.
Hell yeah.
Come and see us. And before we go, though, I want to tell you one thing you're going to see, new hair. That's what I have. Not really new hair. It's my own hair. And the cool thing is, Dr. Linville, he takes the individual follicles from the back of your head. He transplants them to wherever you're thinning. So what they did was they took a bunch off the back of my head and put it on top of my head where it was really thin. And the cool thing is there's no scars. There's no, this isn't plugs. This is an actual transplant of your own hair. So it's my own hair. You basically redrew my hairline, and it's growing out. It's looking much, much better. And maybe by the end of the year, it's going to look like I never had anything done at all. And the cool thing is I was in that spot where it's like, okay, do I just shave my head or do I get something done? And I was about to just shave it, and I met Dr. Linville, and he's had it done too. And his hair looks fantastic, and he told me about the process. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give this a try. And it's working for me. I'm so happy I did it. How about this? Talk to him for free. Free consultation for the rest of September. Just go to 975hair.com. Just find out what it's about. Sit down with him for a few minutes and find out what he can do for you. Free consultations in September, 975hair.com. Get your hair back now, 975hair.com.